Now this time I'll record and we'll do it one more time.
We were recording.
Great.
Real quick before we get started, we have something really cool we want to tell you about.
MTG artist Phil Folio, who's known for cards dating back to Arabian Nights, has a great new batch of tokens available through his Kickstarter campaign, the Foliokens.
The token pack comes with 36 tokens featuring Phil's fun and comical art style, including CEDH staples like a treasure token and a storm counter as well. The more stretch goals we hit, the more tokens become available.
You could also add on this awesome metal monarch token as well as a full uncut sheet of tokens too.
This project is only available through October 18th, so use our link in the description to get your Foliokens today.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan.
I'm flabbergasted.
And this week we got a lot to talk about. There were bans announced for CEDH, for a commander. Whole bunch of shit has changed. This is a huge fucking shift that we are recording this emergency podcast for.
Yeah, we had a whole other podcast that we were set up and ready to go for this week, and then we got the news today.
Out of nowhere.
It's like literally less than 2 hours since the news has dropped, and we wanted to get our initial reactions on camera for your still regularly scheduled podcast, though.
Yeah, so by the time you're getting this, is Friday. It's old news. This happened on Monday, but we still got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so it's still very fresh. Now, a couple things that I think we just want to get out right away. The next bunch of gameplay episodes obviously aren't going to have this ban list in mind. We'll certainly make it known once we catch up with the new ban list here. But we got a bunch of games we have really recorded right now that we're very excited to show you. So
it's the farewell tour. October is going to be the farewell tour for these four cards. Should we talk about the four cards and say what they are?
Let's get right into it.
Okay, because these are like the biggest cards in CDH, I feel like.
Exactly, yeah. Should I say all of them right now and then we go into one of them at a time?
I think so. We should have the full scope.
All right, so the four cards that were just banning Commander are Mana Crypt, Jeweled Lotus, Dockside Extortionist, and Nadu Winged Wisdom. Holy fuck!
We're sure this isn't a prank, though, right? Because I still keep on going back to make sure that I'm not on one of those like joke Twitters or something that's like fucking with me.
I literally checked the calendar to see, did I sleep? Did I hibernate? And it's April 1st all of a sudden?
And it's so fucking crazy because like Jim literally just tweeted, we're not going to pay too much attention to the CDH ban list anymore. And then Twitter fucking exploded. And then he was like, bad, all of you. I'm taking all of your toys away. Now all of your shit. All of you. Bad, bad. And the four like strongest cards in the format have been removed.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe this means that they were really considering casual health. And if you read the explanation of the individual cards, I think it's clear that the rationale is coming from the casual side, and the impacts of CEDH, however you feel about them, are kind of more of a side effect.
I agree.
And
yeah,
it's fair, although I don't think any of these cards realistically see play a ton of casual Commander, you know?
Well, I think that's because they've been like soft banned in Commander,
yeah, that's
right?
True.
But the reality is like all these cards you can argue are casual game ruiners when they hit the table, right? So I can't really say that I'm surprised to see these four cards in particular gone.
Yeah, the three besides Nadu, I have my like own personal ban list for a casual Commander. They're on my casual ban list Commander. I already don't play these in my casual
deck. Nadu was on our list too because we also don't play CEDH Commanders in casual Commander, so like our casual experience is not getting affected, but there's a lot of tables on casual that I think are getting helped.
And I think something that's worth mentioning is that as CEDH has grown in popularity and a lot of CEDH deck lists pop up, because not all of them call themselves CEDH deck lists, I think there's a lot of overlap where individuals who are intending to play a casual Commander with their friends will draw inspiration from things that are actually CEDH lists, and a lot of these cards find their way into casual circles where maybe they don't belong, but not everyone has robust Rule Zero conversations and has a well-defined play group where they are routinely locking in what cards we are and aren't comfortable playing with. So if you're walking into a blind store and you don't play any of these cards, you don't play Mana Crypt, you don't play Soul Ring even, or Unconditional Tutors, but everyone else does, that feels bad, and I think it naturally pushes a blind casual Commander meta towards including cards that are in CEDH, which I think makes the case for why this might be good for casual.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think one of the worst things that Wizards ever did was put Mana Crypt back in packs. And then, like, your one friend who got really lucky and opened one got to put it in their favorite Commander deck while no one else had it, and just created this, like, weird imbalance in your playgroup.
I was that guy. I'm so sorry.
We should talk about the actual announcement, because they gave explanations on why they banned each of these cards. Yes. I feel like we should talk about that.
Let's start with Mana Crypt then, because I think this, for me, Mana Crypt's the biggest one for sure. Because coming down for no mana on turn one, it's quite possible to have the explosive start of Mana Crypt into Signet or Talisman, land, and then another Signet, leaving that player untapping 5 mana on turn two. In games going over 12 turns, the accumulated threat of damage from Mana Crypt provides a reasonable counterbalance for its explosive effect, but when you are snowballing to a turn 6 to 8 win, it's a meaningless drawback. And of course, I just want to say, this is a casual mindset that this is coming from.
Yep. First thoughts for me, this hurts all decks that are 3 pips and one of them is a color. So stuff like Najeela and Sisse, this really stinks, because that was a big way those decks got their first starts. I think that's a really big stinker for them. I think it stops Hullbreaker Horror decks, because their loop normally revolves like a free rock. So this is one less free rock that they have. The Teferi lines with Kitten can go with Mana Crypt or Sol Ring. Now they can just go with Sol Ring, right? So that's also a pretty big thing. Right. And Mana Vault, yeah.
Honestly, just one less or option. Like Mox Opal too, if you have like a bunch of other stuff. So there's other ones you have.
It's also just hurts like any commander that basically costs like basically not just 3 mana, just like 3 mana or more. Like Chrom, this hurts a lot. Any of these like bigger commanders that like require you to like have a bunch of like fast mana in the start, I feel like this is a big hit for them.
Honestly, any deck that's playing Rhystic Study in the 99.
Turn 1 Rhystic is less more difficult now.
It was significantly. Like there are so many times that like Mana Crypt was the reason why you kept openers. And it was the thing that you wanted to tutor with your
Enlightened Tutor, Vampiric Tutor. We were just talking about this. Like, you just discovered how powerful it is to be able to Vampiric Tutor for Mana Crypt again.
On turn one, yeah.
And I'm glad you got to do that now.
Just one time, yeah.
Which is wild, because it literally does make Vampiric Tutor worse. Like, there are all these other cards
Enlightened
that
Tutor
incidentally
sucks now,
become
truly.
Worse. It's wild.
And honestly, like, the theme is going to be any deck that's trying to power out a huge commander is suffering. So, like, this
from
is...
From all of these bans.
For all these. So, like, Atali, this is one where, like, this is a huge hit. And we didn't even talk about the 2 other cards that are also in Atali's 99 that really make that thing go. But again, coming from a casual perspective, I totally understand where this is coming from.
And then like by like the same like reasoning, the commanders that don't care as much about the extra 2 generic pips, like something like Kinnan, who doesn't really care about that extra 2 pips, like Mana Crypt's great in Kinnan, but you can live without it. It doesn't get you a turn 1 Kinnan. Right?
Honestly, Yuriko's like that too.
Yuriko's another one. Timna Thrasios is one that I have coming to mind, because you can't use that 2 extra mana from the Mana Crypt, so it's not quite as good there sometimes.
Oh, except to activate Thrasios. I will
argue
with that.
I guess it was you're right.
Between that and Ancient Tomb, like that was so great. But I mean, you still don't need either of those cards to cast your commander, so I get where you're going there.
I think their explanation is even more applicable to CDH in that they're saying the downside of the 3 life is effectively nothing. It's effectively nothing in casual commander, they're saying, and guess what? It's even less in CDH, and we all know that. We all know that it feels essentially free, and ad nauseum decks are the only ones that may occasionally care about the 6 life that they're going to lose to Mana Crypt over the 4 turns that it takes to win the game.
The more I think about it, the more it changes so many decks that really relied on like having a decent chunk their games revolve around mulliganing aggressively to find Mana Crypt in some way. Decks like Cody is like a great example of that too, that I just took Cody apart, but that are just like aggressively looking for either Mana Crypt or any way to tutor for it on the first turn is so powerful. It's going to make your deck more consistent, because rather having that variance of super explosive versus dud hands, all of your hands are going to look a little bit more similar, which I think is overall a good experience as like a deck builder and like learning how to make a deck, because now you're going to have less of those explosive hands, and then you're going to tell yourself, my deck can win on turn 2. No, you can draw Mana Crypt sometimes. It's not that good. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's going to be a good thing.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, just the amount of cutting that we get to cut out of the process of playing, this is going to be great. So many less turn one tutors. So much less, my opponents are shuffling their library every 5 seconds.
Well, then the next card then is Jeweled Lotus. And their reasoning was that this is another card that gives you 5 mana on turn 2. And Jeweled Lotus does it without even needing a good hand. Though you're restricted in what you can do with that mana, 4 and 5 mana commanders can pack a significant punch nowadays, often drawing cards to make up for the one shot of mana and defensive abilities such as Ward that can't be interacted with early in that game.
Yeah, I wonder, like, does this, like, things like Deflecting Swat and Fierce Guardianship, are we a little bit off of them less now because the Jeweled Lotus is gone?
It probably depends on your commander. Like, I feel like your 3 mana and less commanders can still run those cards, but, like...
Yeah, Brogrock is still pretty good.
Yeah, that's true, but, like, the whole reason why, like, you would play, like, Urza or, like, any of these 4 mana commanders that have 2 color pips in them was because you could play Jeweled Lotus to get them out on turn 1. Like, Ishai was so good on turn 1, and now it's going to be significantly more difficult to get Ishai out that early.
This is a big change change for Blue Farm, I think. This makes Crom, I don't know if anyone remembers the before times, Crom has not always been good. In fact, for a while, Crom was bad. And after getting Jewel Lotus and some more red push, Crom got a little bit better. But now with both Mana Crypt and Jewel Lotus gone, and the next card they're about to talk about, fucking Dockside Extortionist, Crom, I feel like, takes a big hit from this.
It does take a big hit, but I think converting generic mana pips and free mana like Jeweled Lotus into card advantage is very good, but a 5-mana card advantage engine is still good. Like, it is not as good when you can't as consistently play it early, because the earlier those come down, the better, obviously. A significant hit, yes, but I don't think it makes these cards unplayable.
I don't think it makes them unplayable, but it makes me certainly more interested in playing Thrasios Timna over Timna Crom at this point, especially with Dockside going, we're about to talk to. We got to merge them a little bit because it's the same thing. But, like, the beauty of Crom was that you could get it out on turn 2 sometimes or turn 1 off of a Mana Crypt or a Jewel Lotus. Getting it out later, that's when Crom sucked. Crom was good when you got him on turn 1. So removing that part of Crom, I think that's a big hit to the card.
I think there's even a lot of times when you try to use Mana Vault to get Crom out early, but like you're taking off your turn 1 to get Mana Vault out, and then your turn 2 is just getting Crom out. And I know that's like, oh, turn 2, 5-mana commander, that's a card advantage engine, that's great. But like there's been a lot of metas where like Rule of Law is a thing where then your Crom just sucks, or like the game slows down and someone else has a flying blocker. You're not going to be able to get there with commander damage with Crom. So.
But that, like, to me, that's exciting that like maybe, and although Thrasios used Mana Crypt well, I think Thrasios and Timna, like, I think this might be the time for that deck to shine.
I mean, probably, right?
We're touching on something now that I think is like the big question for a lot of people is like, what does this do to the meta? Personally, I think a meta shakeup is really fun. Like, brews and like wild stuff and like ideas that haven't really been able to gain traction before become potentially viable. I think we're going to see a lot of new exciting stuff tried. That part is really exciting for me, that I'm looking forward to.
And also because like it's undoubtedly going to slow the format down a little bit, right? Which is great for Kitten, like you specifically, I feel like that's a great thing.
Right, but I don't think this kills turbo decks either,
no,
right?
We're
like,
yeah.
Rogsai probably is relatively similar to how it was. I mean, it gets worse without Dockside, it gets worse without Mana Crypt, of course, but almost all decks do, really.
I feel like Rogsai got enough toys recently that like, yeah,
it can still make it work. Should we talk about the Dockside and the reasoning for Dockside now and merge these two together?
Nah, we really can't separate these three cards.
Yeah, they're all the same thing.
So Dockside Extortionist isn't normally quite as explosive in the early game as the other two cards. Again, this is from a casual mindset, but it can still go mana positive on turn 2 and start generating substantial treasures after that. And I'm going to interject in CEDH on your turn 1 going last, you can be mana positive there too. It's been on the border for years, and we've shied away from acting on it in the past because the card has scaled well with the power level of tables. But it is a frequent contributor to a more egregious snowballing start.
Dude, this one's the biggest one in my opinion.
I think so, yeah.
Right? Because all of the decks that relied on Emil or any of the Dockside loops now no longer work. That is like a huge section of the pie of the format.
Well, they no longer work because they're not willing to run more expensive infinite mana combos, which there are. There are many of.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that running red to have access to the best versions of infinite mana combos is no longer a requirement is not necessarily the worst thing in the world. I mean, this is very disruptive to those decks. It disrupts a lot of the core strategies of decks that rely on generating infinite mana and then using an outlet. But we just got a new one. I mean, Valley Floodcaller is also an infinite mana loop. There are infinite mana loops with Tidespout, with Hellbreaker Horror, Underworld Breach, and LED. You can still have effectively infinite mana, close to infinite mana. Bomberman combo maybe will come back. There are many, many infinite mana combos. This was just the most efficient one, and it was like by a mile.
Oh, yeah. This was, in my mind, the third best way to win the game was through some sort of Dockside mana loop, and it just lost out to Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation, and Underworld Breach. And now, whatever number 4 is, it's just this humongous gap in between Underworld Breach lines and whatever number 4 is now.
Yeah, I wonder though. I wonder if that's going to bring something else up, or if that's going to like widen that gap in between those two.
I think that's all that it does, because like it's not like the next best infinite mana combo doesn't not get interacted with by certain pieces, right? Like all of the other interaction is still in the format. Like, I guess, what is the second best way to make infinite mana in the format right now?
Honestly, there really wasn't another one that was used a lot, but like the Devoted Druid Swift reconfiguration,
you know what?
For Thrasios
decks, would probably I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I think Thrasios is probably going to come back in a big way.
Thrasios comes back in a big way.
Devoted Druid and Machine God's Effigy
also
works.
One.
That's one
that's
that I've run in Kinnan before. I may bring back in. I don't know. don't know.
But like those are all things that you can interact with your non-creature counter spells, which is really nice because before, like, that was a way that you could get around like the interaction of the format. So I think that having more ways that we can interact with combos too, I think is also net positive.
What about clones? Because clones, Dockside was like the main reason. Do decks still play them?
I said on Twitter that I'm taking out most, if not all, clones from my deck.
I run many clones right now in Kinnan, including Altered Ego, like if which is wild. I'm definitely still running some amount of clones. I think there are still a ton of good creatures. Like getting rid of what might be the best creature in the format does not mean that there aren't still creatures worth cloning. And there are many games where I never saw a Dockside and was still very excited to clone other things, and it had a huge impact on the game. So I certainly don't think I'm removing all clones. I think there's a world in which maybe I remove one clone as a result of this, personally.
Recently, we said on a podcast that because there hasn't been so much Tivit and Atraxa, like me in like Blue Farm, I don't want as many clones. I mean, Kinnan's a whole other story. Like, I could totally understand that. But I think that there are a lot of other decks that will take that hit more seriously.
Yeah, Atraxa and Tivit are both prime examples of commanders that I think are going to see a little bit less play in CDH going forward because losing Jewel Lotus and Mana Crypt for both of them is huge. Yes, they didn't have access to Dockside, but they did play extra clones on the off chance that they'd be able to copy somebody else's Dockside. So I think it hits them pretty hard.
We said, I think at the top of this, that we're within 2 hours of the announcement, right?
Yeah.
2 hours-ish.
Well, now it's over 2 hours. Yeah.
But I'm just going to say, when I was just at home, Brandon was taking apart Blue Farm and saying, do I still keep Mockingbird in? Because I can no longer Ranger Captain for Mockingbird, which is what made it better than Fimage in some ways. And without Dockside, this playline might just not be good enough anymore.
I could totally see that, yeah.
Unless it's like your second Esper Sentinel. Like, that's the only other thing that I could see. But even then, I totally get what he's saying. But again, this is just like a very exciting time where now these three cards are gone. The format's going to look completely different, a lot slower, I think. But like, it's made me very excited to find out what my next favorite CEDH deck is going to be.
Part of me thinks Rhystic Study gets a little bit worse because no Mana Crypt. Part of me thinks Rhystic Study gets a little bit better because the format slows down. I don't really know
that's
which one it's going to be.
I'm at. Yeah, like you can still get turn two Rhystic Study pretty good.
I am really curious what the right answer to that is because this is a conversation I had with someone else an hour ago and I was saying, I think that Rhystic Study gets worse because to me, this makes most turbo decks a little worse, a little slower. The sheer number of cards being played when there's less explosive mana is probably going to be a lower number of cards. But Brandon was saying, well, no, Rhystic Study now gets better because it's a longer game, so it hits so many more times. And I can see a case for either of these. I mean, it is tough to say how it impacts other individual cards.
Yeah, on one side, I think that Rog'Sai gets better because it loses, yes, one piece of fast mana, but it has so many to choose from. It has 20 pieces of fast mana. So losing one, okay, you have 19 of 20. But some of the other bigger, chunkier decks that only have 10 pieces of fast mana and rely on getting one of them just like throughout the game now have one less option. So it takes like a bigger piece of their pie. Does that make sense? So like, I feel like the slower decks somehow lose out more on the Mana Crypt because they lose out on those opportunities to have slightly faster starts.
But now all of your opponents lose out on Mana Crypt. So they have one less thing to help pay for like two Rhystic Study triggers too.
Yeah. Or the Mystic Remora upkeep cost for it.
That's also true. So I feel like there's this weird balance now where like, they're still really good cards, but I'm not quite sure exactly where they're going to land. Because Mystic Remora is great because you can catch people's Mana Crypts on turn one, right? That option's gone. That's a significantly smaller amount of cards that card's going to draw you, right?
I think those cards are going to scale okay with these changes. I personally think that the Rhystic Study might be a hair worse than it used to be, but I don't know that I'm right about that. Either way, there's definitely things on both sides of the scale for those cards.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you're adjusting your CDH deck and you're taking one of these three cards out, do you put in a land in place of all of them? Because to me, Mana Crypt, Jewel Lotus, and Dockside are all kind of like a land. Dockside maybe a little bit less, but the other two are kind of like putting, like replacing Mana Crypt with a spell seems like a recipe for bad time, right?
Replacing it with like Springleaf Drum in most decks sounds terrible. Yeah.
Maybe you could do that, but I think you replace Mana Crypt, Dockside, and Jewel Lotus with, it has to be like, if not a land, a piece of mana or something.
Yeah, I think how greedy mana bases have gotten in terms of the low land counts that we see in CDH is probably going to have to adjust back up. Like, I'm surprised if in a world of no Mana Crypt and no turn one Vampiric or Enlightened for Mana Crypt, if you can still run 24 lands, which I've seen in a few lists. And I
run that in Rock'side right now, yeah. And it has felt great, but now I feel a little bit less confident.
Yeah, do you ever turn one Tutor for Sol Ring?
No, because that would be much worse.
I know, right? So, like...
Although, I guess it will be an option now if you have your second land drop, so you could still get, a turn two Rhystic Study.
I just turned one Tutored for Sol Ring in a game we just played on the channel.
Really?
Because you had a Dauntless Dismantler out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And there was a fourth card. Should we talk about Naidu being banned,
too?
Oh,
yeah, we should talk about that, yeah. There's another... It's like a completely different section. That's how you know that, like, those first three cards all go together. So there's another ban here, and it's explosive, but in a different way. Given that Naidu has been ejected from multiple formats at this point, it's no surprise we took a close look at it in Commander. Sometimes hugely problematic cards in other formats like Oko and Companions are fine for Commander, but our observations suggest Naidu's play is inherently going to cause problems. Part of the problem is the way in which Naidu wins, where it takes a really long time to do non-deterministic sequences that can't be shortcut and might eventually fizzle out. These aren't dedicated combo lines that you have to build a deck around. Dropping Naidu into a normal Simic deck shell still runs the risk of grinding the game down to a slog of resource accrual. It interacts badly with cards that are staples in casual play, specifically Lightning Greaves, meaning that decks it gets thrown into without abuse intent can still create a situation where a player is monopolizing all of the time in a game. That's not an experience that we want to risk, so Naidu gets itself another ban.
You can't be surprised, right? We kind of kept on saying, like, maybe, well, let's see more information, but we all kind of knew.
Yeah, I think I said relatively early on that I thought this might be bannable for once, and then I wavered on that, but I think the point that they're making about turn equity, especially in timed tournaments, is a big one, and I think it's really, really relevant. It does kind of suck for other players when someone is taking totally legal game actions, and, you know, it's not this player's fault that Naidu exists and can take so much time to execute, but it can take a very long time to execute. And I think this is good for tournaments. And to be honest, I think it's good for the health of the format overall.
Isn't it strange that we have now had three blue, green, colorless cards that have been like broken across multiple formats in Oko, Uro, and Naidu? Isn't that fucking strange? And they all, also their names sound the same. I don't know. It makes sense. I mean, I would have loved Naidu to stay. I think it's a fun, cool commander. It was just too strong, I think. It's like the short way to say like everything that you just said. I just think it was too powerful. All that other stuff is true, but it was just, I don't know. It was just too strong.
And even in CEDH, it was just impossible to interact with half the time. And what's not even listed here is what Dylan would say a lot, which is you interact with it, it reveals a counterspell, and then it counters your interaction for it.
Right.
Yeah, and interacting with it would still draw cards, except that it wasn't drawing cards and didn't get punished by card draw things. I think we can squarely say that, like, Naidu was a failure of design. Like, this was not tested adequately. They had levers that they could have changed. They could have changed many things about the wording of the card to make it operate in a way that was less oppressive, less, you know, egregiously non-deterministic when you're just spitting out creatures and each of them has a new instance of this, and they just did not use any of them.
Well, did you see the story behind what happened with the design of Naidu?
I don't know.
It was originally supposed to have flash, and it was supposed to, like, give other creatures flash or something. Something involving flash. And they were like, we can't do that. That's going to be too good. Let's slap this line of text and take away flash on it instead. Right? And then that fixed all of the problems.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, so that's just kind of like added to everything else. So really, there was kind of like no reason why this card should have been made ever. And I'm just glad that I got the time with it that I did.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I think overall, these are still like, these are really good changes for the format. I think they're really good changes for casual Commander.
None of these cards you've seen playing casual play anyway.
No,
I think.
And it's going to make me really excited to play more casual Commander, especially now that I've decided that I'm just Golgari Man in casual and I'm going to have three Golgari based decks. I'm honestly looking at a fourth now, so it's making me really excited to play more casual. I think I'm building Tim Nathrasios.
Yeah.
As my CEDH deck.
Honestly, yeah. I was thinking the same thing, and normally I would say let's not overlap. I say fuck it. Let's brew together.
Yeah,
let's
exactly. brew this. Yeah. This is just like when like Birthing Pod was banned in Modern and I had to find a new deck to play after that. And like yeah, your deck gets banned. You gotta move on. You spent some money on these cards, but like that's kind of how the competitive format goes. It's not like I have to buy the same game for my PlayStation every year and it costs $100 and they're microtransactioning me the whole time in the game.
That is kind of what's happening though, because you do have to buy new cards like every year and it throws small and small amounts.
Yeah, but at least CEDH is proxy friendly.
There we go.
At the same time, proxy. Right? Like, yeah. So there's a lot of people that did take that financial punch in the face, but there's a lot of
people, and
that does suck, right? But there's also a lot of people that are like, I spent 25 cents on getting this one sent to me in the mail. I'm going to print off a whole new deck for basically free and be totally fine.
On the subject of the casual side of it, if this is massively impacting your casual deck, I think this means that you either were already close to playing CDH and maybe you should just explore the format sincerely, just commit to like giving it a try, or you weren't having a real zero conversation with your playgroup maybe, or something like that. But like if you were playing a casual deck that run like three or more of these cards that just got banned, like I wouldn't call that a casual deck. I'm just being honest. Like that's the kind of deck where someone would say, oh, this, you know, it's casual because it's not doing X, Y, or Z. And I would say, that may be your definition, but that is not my definition of casual, personally.
It's also got me a little bit excited for No Ban List Commander, because now I have a Mana Crypt and a Dockside Extortionist with nothing to do. No Ban List Commander is a format that has seemed fun in the past, and now I'm kind of interested, because I'm not going to sell my Mana Crypt now, because I bought it for a lot more than it's worth. So that's kind of something that I'm interested in, too.
Speaking of other formats, though, we're still playing CEDH.
Oh, yeah. I'm more excited than ever to play CEDH.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I've already had people in, like, in my Twitter feed and in we should split the format.
No.
This is CEDH.
Yeah.
We wanted a tournament format based around the Commander ban lists, and this is what it is. This is what happens. Again, just like in Modern, when Birthing Pod got banned, you gotta find a new deck. This is what happens in tournament competitive formats, and here's the fix that we've been wanting for a while.
I have four decks together right now. Rog'Sai, I think I'm going to keep it together. It takes a big hit for sure, but I think I can still make it work.
Agreed.
Timnatana. I'm actually excited about Timnatana keeping it together, because now I feel like it doesn't really care about losing the fast mana that much. And if the format slows down, Timnatana is thrilled. Kona. I've been falling in love with Kona the past 2 weeks. I do not care about that card anymore.
That's the fastest breakup I've ever seen.
Which is a real shame, because the mono green strategy seems really fun and interesting, and I've been loving like learning the loops, but losing Mana Crypt and Jeweled Lotus for like the Kona deck, like that was the reason to play the deck. Because, like, turn one Kona.
We literally spent 40 minutes on Friday talking about Kona, and I started editing
the podcast.
Oh, it's deleted.
Yeah,
it's gone.
It's just, like, although Kona is sweet, and to be honest, I do think I'm going to put together a mono-green deck in its place, maybe Silvala or something.
This
I don't know
sounds
what.
Like a great time for Silvala, yeah.
Yeah, right? And then for the fourth deck, Sissei. I just learned all the fucking Sissei lines. I spent so much brain energy.
At least
and
you
now
get to clean up your space in there now.
Like, is Sissei dead?
I don't know if it's dead. Losing Dockside sucks. In my opinion, Sissei was quietly the best Dockside deck in the format. Losing Mana Crypt in your one pip and two generic commander deck, that also kind of sucks. And losing Jeweled Lotus in your three mana commander deck, that also kind of sucks.
I think you can just swap out Dockside for Marvin Murderous Mimic and then not miss a beat.
I don't know about that. You can still the Bloom Dender lines, there are three good lines with the commander and most of them still work. You're just like a touch slower, so losing out on those slow explosive starts is a big weakness to the deck. But if the whole format slows down, maybe it's not. So maybe I don't take that one together right now yet. Maybe I just change Kona till Silvala and keep on chugging along with my other decks.
Well, I'll tell you what. Chunky's not going to be together anymore.
Yeah, Chunky, that's a big hit for Chunky.
This is actually a really sad day for Atali players all around the world.
Yeah, losing Dockside is obviously huge, right?
Yeah, that was like one of the best ways to win the game. I need to find a new food chain deck now all of a sudden, I guess.
I think Timnajeska gets much worse, which is a deck I've been playing a lot lately.
Yes, yeah.
Abdul Adrian is still an infinite mana combo that can still work. There's still sort of oblique Hoarding Broodlord lines and like Grinding Stone Underworld Breach lines.
I love how you meant oblique just like not in like a card that is oblique, like they just are oblique now, or is there something?
Yeah, what does oblique mean?
I was thinking you meant just like bleak.
No, meaning
oh, bleak. Oh, okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just meant like circuitous, like kind of complicated.
He used a bigger word.
What? Jesus Christ, dude.
hard, hard lines. They were easier lines before, and now they're harder.
Okay, I get it now.
Oh, God. That's funny. Please share your favorite synonym for oblique in the comments.
Losing the Chthonian nightmare lines. That stings. That was a new card.
That is going to be tricky for sure.
Oh, also, can you lift your microphone quick? Our fucking playmat. with dockside, really focal, right in the beginning, right in the middle of that thing. So you had Nadu together. That one's also coming apart.
Yeah, Nadu's obviously going to come apart. And
Kenrith sucks. Well, you already took Kenrith apart, I guess.
Yeah, no, Kenrith would worst place Kenrith's ever been. But yeah, I do a blue farm together right now, and I think that I don't know. I don't think blue farm is as strong in the same blue farm form the way that Rog'Sai stays. I think blue farm slows down, becomes more of a Timnit based deck. Maybe even plays a little bit of Hate Bears to keep it a little bit more slow. By Hate Bears, I mean like you put Dothy Voidwalker back in the deck, like just like not the bad ones, but ones that are still going to be like good quote unquote value engines. You can still get out on turn one with a Chrome Mox or a Mox Diamond or something like that.
I wonder if like the Opus Thief strategies will take back over.
Maybe that comes
more
back,
wheel
yeah.
focus, more Narset, more ass, other stuff like that.
Yeah, but again, like the three good cards in red were Dockside Extortionist, Underworld Breach, and Deflecting SWAT. And now, like, again, we don't have quick, easy commanders, so Deflecting SWAT gets worse. We just don't have Dockside Extortionist anymore.
It changes ad nauseum lines too, because a lot of lines you would like go down to very small amount of mana and then Dockside back up to get yourself to a place that's good.
The amount of fast mana that you need to score on an ad nauseum in order to be able to reliably win has changed radically, because a lot of times it could just be I need 4 mana in order to like tutor 4 Dockside and then cast Dockside, and then we're in the clear because I'll be able to do Dockside shenanigans to keep the gears moving. So that does change a lot.
Double blue for Thassa's Oracle in the turbo decks can be sometimes tricky without Dockside Extortionist. Just like finding double blue to land on Thassa's Oracle, like
I think it's worth mentioning that Dockside helped color decks with more colors so much because it makes you not worry about the pip so much. And I kind of do like when there's a cost to be paid for playing, you know, good stuff in 5 colors. Like I think that element of it in particular, I'm very excited about, because I like seeing fewer color decks have some advantage that they gain from focusing on 2 colors instead of running good stuff across multiple colors.
Speaking of that, I think we talked about already these two, but like Kinnan and Yuriko, I think are two decks that lose nothing and kind of gain from everyone else losing stuff more than other decks.
They lose not nothing, but not close nothing. Enough.
Yeah, close
relative
enough.
To other decks, yeah, I think you're right.
I know Yuriko has thought about cutting Sol Ring in the past because the two generic is just not as helpful when all of your stuff is like very pip focused because they're all little ninjas and stuff. So I think I might put Yuriko together, to be honest. I've been talking about that a lot recently. We've been talking about how Yuriko gets more and more tools, and it's been a pet deck of mine from a while ago.
That is another one that's gotten a ton of new tools, and yeah, between like those two juxtapositions, I think that's really good.
So we've been talking so much about how this might shake up the meta, and man, there's so much to say, so much more to say. I think this is a really exciting time, but I think for the players who are like most impacted, where they really just play one deck and that deck is getting like really screwed, like the Korvolds, like the chunky
Korvold, yeah, honestly, maybe even Temeshi too. That one's sagging. I don't think we're going to see Temeshi on the channel now.
But I think this feels a lot like a Sky is Falling moment, and a lot of people, you know, of course the first people off the starting block on the internet are like, oh, RIP CEDH, like we're, you know, it's done, so on and so forth. If you thought CEDH was about play lines with these 3 or 4 specific cards, like, I just don't see eye to eye with you. Like, CEDH is a deck building mentality and like about your goals in the game and how interactive and explosive you want your deck to be, and that is just not tied to individual cards, because I mean, we were all playing CEDH or close to CEDH before several of these cards came out. Not Mana Crypt, obviously, but like I remember the world in which we were playing without any of that.
I feel like giddy about it. Like I feel like it's an exciting new like wave of like brewing opportunity for CEDH.
Yeah. So having been around in that meta, there's no flash, so it is not going back to the flash meta. We're gonna get to see what it was like. Man, this is like a trip back to prehistoric times. It's gonna be sweet.
That is gonna be really nice.
With all these other new cards that have, you know, given other colors, like especially white, like a chance to catch up, and I think red is taking a hit, and I think every other color and more or less every deck that is not red or red plus one color is getting way more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, every deck played Mana Crypt, so like, and most decks played Jeweled Lotus, so like, really, if every deck is taking a hit, then who cares, right? Yeah, like, the red ones are going to take a hit, but like, if every other deck's taking a hit, they're all taking the same hit, right? So it's all still kind of like the same level, but it's just knocked down a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Overall, I think we're all three of us are clearly very excited about this. By the time this episode comes out, we've all sat with these changes for a lot longer. And I think we're only going to feel more better and more confident about the direction that we're going in after this. And I think we're only going to like it more as time progresses.
I think so. I'm excited. I am fully like into the idea that the rules committee's choices for casual commander are probably good for competitive EDH, because competitive EDH is an extension of casual commander, and the fact that their stewardship of the format up to this point gave rise to this sort of sub format seems to have worked out really well. And I am just not convinced that that's not the right path.
Yeah, I want to trust what works, right? They've been doing this for a long time, and not everyone has to agree all the time. That's like kind of the beauty of Magic and the world and whatever. But like, I think, I don't know, I have full faith in them, and I have full faith in CDH. To me, this is like the fun part of being a Magic player when the format changes and everything's fresh and new. This is like the best time to play. You're not sure what the metagame looks like and trying to guess and figure it out. This is like the most enjoyable time to play Magic, so I'm excited. That's all.
I think for a lot of people where they felt maybe the format was like so crystallized or locked in that like they really didn't want to brew because they felt too new to the format, like this is the time to brew if you were on the edge. Like there's enough of a shakeup that there's room for things there weren't before. Like give it a go.
Here, here. Dylan, thank them for watching.
Thank you so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Funko K, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groompy, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Mark Cirillo, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Go to 9, Wajah, Ahmed, Lauren Kynel, and Baby Jeebus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thanks so much to Dragon Shield for supporting the show.
Use code PLAYTOWIN5 down below for 5% off at our affiliate link.
If you can tolerate what's happening in social media feeds right now, which is probably going to be challenging, go find us on our social media. You can find it at our link tree, playtowinmtg.com.
Thanks for watching.
See you next time.
Roy Turner, Orjan, Mystic Muffin Man, Jacob Bauer, Tyler Watson, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H. Ballcraft, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin Mansolo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. Also, my favorite place at the farmer's market, the local farmer's market, they're also retiring and they aren't going to be at the farmer's market anymore. So, like, literally today was these two punches right in a row. Like, literally, my phone started blowing up from ban list stuff, and then Courtney texts me like, hey, the farm's closing. I went, ah, shit.
What is the point of living? To suffer?
Yeah.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.